I don't think I'm going to have any trouble at all feeling at home in the presence of the Lord. Amen? I'm looking forward to that day when the Lord comes back. Seemed like the theme of the songs this morning has been talking about laying it down, getting ready to go home and be with the Lord. And I'll tell you, give us to Bert. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Getting ready to go home and be with Jesus. And I'm excited about that, and I trust that you are. I know the world is looking for answers from the government, from man, but they're not coming. Amen. The only answer we have, the only hope we have, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have your faith in the Lord Jesus this morning, then you need to really consider your ways and consider what direction you're going. I want us to turn this morning, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20. And I want to share with you some things that the Lord has laid upon our heart. I've thought about this over the years, and I know people get upset because of messages, and of course the enemy has a tendency to want to allow us to believe or cause us to believe that a preacher gets in the pulpit and preaches message to specific people because of things he knows. But, you know, a preacher preaching a message is just like a mailman coming to your house. He brings you the letter. He don't open that letter to see what it concerns you with or what's in it for you. He just delivers the letter. You open the letter, amen? And so when God delivers a message or sends a message to a church or to a people, the man that brings that message is just a mailman. He doesn't know how it concerns you or what the situation is in your life. God, through the Holy Spirit, is able to do that. Amen? So you pray this morning. Let's stand to our feet in the reading of the Word of God and just honor the Lord this morning with His presence in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I want to begin reading at verse 30 and read through verse 42. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, "Thou son of the perverse but rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto this lad, "Run and find out now the arrows which I shoot." And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" And Jonathan cried after the lad, "Make speed, haste, stay not." And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. And the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, "Go carry them to the city." And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. The word exceeded there simply means that David was overwhelmed. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for everything, Lord, that you do for us and show us in the Word that helps us to live the life that would be pleasing to you. I ask you now this morning as we stand behind this holy desk, that you'd anoint these lips of clay, that you would use me for your glory and for your praise. God, I stand here to preach your Word, and I'm honored by that. And I ask you, Lord, to take the words that I speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning. And Father, use them for your pleasure and use them for your purpose. And we'll not fail to slip off somewhere and give you the honor and the glory and the praise for all that's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If I were to have a thought or a title this morning to this message, and I really wrestle with this. This message has been, God has been dealing with me for 2 or 3 days to preach this. And if I were to have a message or a title for it this morning, I would have to go back and do a takeoff on an old Clint Eastwood movie where the title was The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Now, I want to talk to you this morning on that thought for just a little while. I thought about other titles, but I thought this one was the most fitting. In order to do this message justice, we have to know the history of what was going on before the scripture that I read you this morning. In this scripture, we find the players. We find the man by the name of Saul, who is the king of Israel, and we find Saul has a son named Jonathan, and this young lad Jonathan, this young man Jonathan, is the heir apparent to the throne of Israel. I mean, he's the king's son, and he is apparently going to inherit the throne, and that's the way things appear. And then we find David, who is Jonathan's friend and comrade, who was knit to Jonathan earlier in this scripture, and we find these three main characters in what I read you this morning. So the history, we have to go back and look at like chapters 8, 9, and 10, and we find the nation of Israel, who didn't have a king in those chapters, and before that time, we find them praying that God would give them a king. Now, this was not God's perfect will for Israel. It's not what God wanted for Israel, but it's what Israel wanted. And they continued to pray and to seek God's face and to say, Lord, if you'll just give us a king, we'll be like other nations. We'll have royalty. We'll have somebody to lead us, somebody that we can look at. But it wasn't God's will that they do that. But they continued to pray, and God said, okay, if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do for you. So God sends a man by the name of Samuel out to find the man that God has chosen to be king. And Samuel finds Saul out actually looking for some donkeys that were lost. And God points him out to Samuel. And he says, that's the man that I've chosen. So Samuel goes to Saul, and the Bible describes Saul as a man that stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Now, folk, that means that everybody else come to right about here on him. He was a pretty good-sized fellow. So anyway, he was out looking for the donkey. Samuel spotted him. God says, go anoint him to be king. So in chapter 12, we find that God's not pleased with Israel because they have desired a king, but he answers their prayer and gives them Saul as a king. Then in chapters 13, 14, and 15, and in there, Saul, coming from a poor family, one of the least families in the nation of Israel, it didn't take him long to fit right in as the king of Israel. Amen. Saul becomes rebellious. He becomes greedy. He becomes arrogant. Actually, Saul, who come from a poor family, a small tribe of the children of Israel, became a legend in his own mind. How many of you know somebody like that? Amen. I know people that are a legend in their own mind. They think they've got it all. They know it all. They can do it all. Amen. They've got everything under control. And that's where Saul was. That's where he went to in a pretty good hurry. So God rejects Saul. If you'll go back to chapter 16, verse 1 through 3, you'll find out that God decided to anoint somebody else to be king. Amen. Let's just read those three verses of Scripture. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 16, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn," or pray — the word there, mourn, should be pray — "for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee." Now here's where we find out that David comes into the picture. And all of us know the story of about how Samuel went down to Jesse's house and called Jesse out, and he said, "I want your sons. I need all your sons." So they bring them all except the one little fair-haired lad that was out keeping the sheep, because God is going to show Samuel which son is going to be the next king of Israel. Goes through all of them. It's not this one, it's not this one, it's not this one, it's not this one. It's, my God, we went through all the boys, and God hasn't shown us who's going to be king. Have you got another son around here? And Jesse said, "Oh yeah, I got one little fair-haired, ruddy-complected boy out keeping the sheep by the name of David." And Saul says, "You better go get him. We need to check on him." So they bring David in, and God said, "That's the man." And Saul anoints a little ruddy, red-haired, fair-haired child to be the next king of Israel because he had rejected Saul. Because of Saul's arrogance, because of Saul's disobedience, because Saul figured that he knew better than God, and when God would give him command, Saul would do it his way. How many of you know that is prevalent in the church today? So chapter 17 comes, and we find out that Saul and the children of Israel are down in the valley, and they're facing the Philistines. And we all know the story of about how this great big giant, amen, was down in the valley cursing the God of Israel and cursing the armies of Israel and daring any one of them to come down and fight him. Now Saul is head and shoulders above anybody else there. He's the biggest man there, but Saul ain't about to go down. Amen? Saul knows he's a legend in his own mind. They can't afford to lose him. So he ain't going down. But David shows up. Amen? And we all know the story. To make a long story short, for the sake of time, David slays Goliath. Amen. And he took Goliath's head, that he cut off with Goliath's sword, and put it on a platter and marched back to town with it. And how many of you know that when he got back to town, they began to rejoice and they began to honor David above Saul? And the women of the city said, "Oh, listen, Saul has slew his 1,000, but David his 10,000. And guess what rose up in Saul? Amen. It didn't take very long for that to come out. Saul, having already been told by Samuel that he was going to lose his job, reacts exactly the way someone who is a legend in his own mind would be expected to react. He got jealous. He got angry. You know, jealousy is an ugly thing. In any form that it comes, it's an ugly thing. I think off the top of my head, there's accounts all through the Scripture where people became jealous of somebody else because of God's blessings on them. You know, people act like, and they look at other people and they think, well, my God, God's only got a little piddling of blessing, and He's wasted them all on that person, and now I'm not going to get any. So they get jealous and they get angry. I got news for you. God's got a warehouse full of blessing. He can bless you as much or more than He did that person that's bothering you. How many of you know that jealousy will only hurt you? It will never hurt the person you're jealous of. We look in Scripture and we see the prodigal son's brother. As far as I know, according to Scripture, had a pretty good life going. There was no great sin or disobedience in the man's life. He'd been with his father. He'd worked right there. But the one problem that he had was that he got jealous because his dad throwed a party for his brother. How many of you know that people will get jealous when God blesses you? Amen. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? You know, they claim that they're happy for you and they'll act happy for you. But believe me, a lot of people don't appreciate what God's doing for you because they think they deserve more. And you're out there singing, oh, look what the Lord has done. And they're saying, yeah, look what he done. They're not happy for you at all. Amen. But Saul got jealous. I think about Joseph, who had a dream, and God selected Joseph. And you remember his brothers agreed on a lie to tell their daddy and throw their brother in a pit and ultimately sold him into slavery. Jealousy is an ugly thing. So in our text in chapter 20, we find a man by the name of Saul, who is actually the king of Israel, consumed with jealousy. Look at verses 30 and 31 there again. And Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. Now, Jonathan was Saul's son. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. That phrase should be translated, thou perverse and rebellious son born of woman. Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Saul is saying to his son Jonathan, I am absolutely disappointed in you, boy. Can't you see that that youngin' is after your job? Can't you see that he's going to take over the kingdom in your place? Don't you understand that that boy named David that you have befriended is going to stab you? Don't you understand you're not going to get the kingdom if David lives? That's what he was saying to his son. But Jonathan had a knack of seeing something that Saul didn't see, because Jonathan recognized the anointing on David, Saul didn't. The Bible teaches me that Jonathan's spirit and soul was knit to David about three chapters earlier. Saul saw something in him. He saw a person and a place where God was going. And Jonathan was in a terrible situation that some of us get in once in a while, because Jonathan had a desire. He saw the anointing. He saw God's plan in David, but he was Saul's son. That's a terrible place to be, because now it's decision time. You want to follow the anointing. You want to do what God wants you to do. You want to be where the anointing is, but tradition, your father's house, Saul, your father is pulling you that way, and the anointing is pulling you that way, and you're in a terrible fix between those two. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've been there. Because you want to do certain things, and God is wanting you to do other things. So Jonathan is in a fix where he wants to, he's recognized the anointing of David. He wants to follow the anointing. He wants to be a part of what God is doing. Yet on the other hand, he's torn by his father and who he was. And I can almost hear him say to David, or to Saul, "Dad, you're my father. I mean, you taught me to shoot a bow. You set me upon your knee. You'll always be my father, but there's an anointing on David. I need to follow David. I need to follow God. I need to follow the anointing." How many of you know that when God calls you into something, there will be people that will try to pull you the other way? You try to share your vision with people and they say, "You better leave that alone. You better stay away from that. That's no good." Saul was saying to his son, "Jonathan, I know about you and David. That boy is after your job. He's going to take your job. He's going to take your place. You better leave him alone. As a matter of fact, if you call him over here, I'll kill him." And you know what? It had nothing to do with the relationship between Jonathan and David. It had to do with jealousy, because Saul knew that God was taking the kingdom of Israel away from him and going to give it to David. And Jonathan began to try to justify it, and he asked his dad, "Why would you want to kill him? What has he done that's so terrible?" And my Bible said that Saul got so angry at his own son that he threw a javelin at him. He tried to kill his own son over the outrage of jealousy that he had for another man. How many of you know that jealousy will eat at you from the inside out to the point where it absolutely destroys you and everything around you? Jonathan had a problem because Saul was his dad, and he loved his dad because of who he was, but he hated who Saul had become. How many of you know it's hard to love somebody that you hate? That's confusing, right? He wanted Saul to be his dad, but he hated what Saul had become because of the jealousy. You see, Jonathan represents someone torn by what God did in the past versus what God's going to do in the future. And a lot of times we come to that point where we're torn by tradition and holding on to the old thing and trying to hold on to the past, when God is saying, "Over here is where I'm going. Over here is where the anointing is. Over here is where you need to be." Jonathan tried to hold on to tradition while he liked being the king's son, and he liked the comfort of the palace. He tried to hold on to those things, and he also was trying to embrace what God was doing. Now, that's a bad place to be, because you're trying to go in two different directions. How many of you know that'll keep you up at night? You see, chapter 18 of this 1 Samuel says in verse 1 that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved David as his own soul. So Jonathan, trying to hold on to the past and trying to embrace the future, And I want to tell you this morning, this is the message. It cost him his life. Let me tell you what could have happened and what should have happened. Jonathan should have embraced the anointing he saw in David, left his father's house, and followed what God was doing. That's what he should have done. Because God had already withdrawn from Saul. God had already decided to make David king. God had already anointed David to be the next king. And had Saul listened to God in the beginning, none of this would have taken place. But had Jonathan listened to his heart and to his soul and what God was doing, he would have ended up living in the king's house with David. Hear me now. Having all the blessings of the anointing without any of the responsibility. Now you think about that for a minute. Jonathan could have ended up, when David became king, in the king's castle with David, supporting David, supporting the anointing and walking in the anointing with David, and had all the blessings, and David would have had all the responsibility. That's what could have happened. You see, Jonathan's son got that blessing. Did you know that? 2 Samuel chapter 9, if you go there, you find out that once David became king, he asked a question. He said, is there any survivors or anybody left of Jonathan's house that I might show him mercy for Jonathan's sake? And he was told that Jonathan had a son who lived down in Lodibar. Amen. And was crippled on both his feet. His name was Mephibosheth. And David sent down to Lodibar. And he got Jonathan's son and brought him up to the king's house and set him at the king's table. And he said, I'm going to restore unto you all the land of your father, Jonathan. And you're going to sit in the king's castle and you're going to eat at the king's table for the rest of your life. Mephibosheth got the blessing that Jonathan could have. Think about that. That's what should have happened. Jonathan should have told his father, no, I'm not going to be a part, and I'm not going to cast my lot with you because you're wrong in what you're doing. David is God's anointed man, and I'm going to follow the anointing. Have you ever noticed that people that choose to live around the anointing get blessed by it? Have you ever seen that? It's called walking in God's favor. Now I want to ask you this morning, wouldn't it be better to walk in God's favor than to have to run to God every time you had a need? I mean, it just makes common sense to me. See, that's what should have happened to Jonathan. Now here's what really happened to Jonathan. Note verses 35 and onward in the scripture that we read to you this morning in chapter 20. Came to pass in the morning, Jonathan went out in the field at the appointed time with David. Now here, to make a, put it in your English, here's what happened. Jonathan and David had made an appointment to meet. And Jonathan said, as soon as I find out how my father feels, I'll come and share it with you. So he goes out, and the reason he shot the arrows is because that was a signal to David that everything was all right. David could come out of hiding, and you'll find that that's what happened. He sent the lad back to town with his bow and arrows and so on. David came out of hiding. But I want you to look at verse 41. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. They kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded, or David was overwhelmed. Here is two men that cared so much about each other that their soul was knit together. One with the anointing of God on his life to be king, and one that should have been following him but was pulled back to his father Saul's house. what should have taken place right there is Jonathan should have said, David, I'll go with you. I'll stand with you. You and I are comrades. We're bound together by God. And whatever comes, I'm going to be where the anointing is. I choose to follow the anointing. I choose to go with you. That's not what happened. You see what happened here was Jonathan and David. Actually, Jonathan said to David, goodbye. The last contact they ever had in the Word of God. Listen to the next verse. Jonathan said to David, go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. David rose and departed. Jonathan went back to the city. That decision. You see, Jonathan died at an early age, not because he had committed some great sin, not because he had committed some disobedience, not because there was something found in his life that would cause death. Jonathan died at an early age simply because he made a decision right here that was the wrong decision for his life. He chose what was behind him, what had always been all the tradition, over what God was doing in the nation of Israel. That goodbye, that decision cost Jonathan his life. How do I know that? Jonathan chose to bow to the establishment in the traditions of his father. To stay where he was, live as he'd always lived. And I believe that Jonathan, from the day him and David said goodbye in that field, had that what if question come up in his mind 100 times a day. What if I had went with David? What if I had supported David? What if I had followed with David? What if I had left my father's house and followed the anointing? And I believe that was one of the things that tormented Jonathan. But Jonathan chose to remain in a place where God had already departed. God had already rejected Saul and anointed David to be king. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and I want to read you 2 verses of Scripture. First Chronicles chapter 10. Now we find Jonathan and his father Saul, whose house he chose to go back to. Listen to the Scripture. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. Now I can almost imagine that as Jonathan lay on that mountainside with an arrow of the Philistines through his heart, bleeding to death, Jonathan thought in his heart, what if I had went with David? What if I had cast where God has been and what he did in the past off, and follow the anointing and what God's doing in the future? Had I followed David, I wouldn't be on this mountain. I wouldn't be on Gilboa. I would be under the anointing and under the blessings of God. The decision he made back in that field when he said goodbye to David and returned to his father Saul's house cost Jonathan everything. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but the message that I have delivered is for somebody. God wouldn't waste my time and waste your time with me standing up here preaching this message if it wasn't for somebody. I don't know who it is, but I pray that as I have preached to you this morning, God has shown you the Saul that's in your life, that thing that you need to let go of and reach out to what God's doing now and not try to hold on to what God did in the past. If you hold on to what God did in the past, you're holding on to something all that God has already departed from, because God's moving forward. God's moving forward. Bert, I want you to come. There's an old song. Used to use it a lot in altar call services over the years. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Had Jonathan decided to follow the anointing? Folk, I'm here to tell you, he wouldn't have died with his father and his brothers out on Mount Gilboa. He would have lived in the king's palace with all the anointing, with all the blessing that God had for David and those that followed him. If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart, and there are things in your past that you have been torn about giving up, and God has been speaking to your heart about those things and saying to you way down in your spirit, you need to just toss those aside and follow the anointing. If you're here this morning and God has shown you a Saul in your life that you need to get rid of, I want you to come. Don't come to me. Come to God. Get before God this morning and make a decision. From today on, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm not going to hold on to the past. I'm not going to hold on to what God did in the past. I'm going to go after what God's doing now. I'm going after the anointing today. I'm going to decide to follow Jesus. I'm saying yes to Jesus for the rest of my life. I want us to stand our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, as she plays and sings this song. If you need to pray, you come right now.
I have decided.
See, Jonathan could have met David in that field that day and said, David, I'm going with you. I choose the anointing. And there's no turning back from here. I'm going to follow what God's doing. I'm going to follow God's anointing. And I'm going forward with what God's doing. But he didn't do that. The Bible said David departed. And Jonathan went back to the city. He was too satisfied with where he was to make a commitment to go forward with God. I think if there was ever a day when God is called